Are there any questions? Or anything to share so far? So it can be hard to speak up in a group. Now we're here in the dark, so it can be a good chance to squeak if you're feeling shy. So any questions from the meditation earlier, from the practical side, anything at all, feel free.
Any suggestion on how not to fall asleep?
One good way is to rest, and then you will stop falling asleep. So, it is very common that the first 2 days of the retreat, for some people, every single meditation, for others, just very often, their head hits the ground and they're asleep. So maybe I can just say a little bit about a usual process. For some people, it can take a half day, 2 days, 7 days to actually feel comfortable enough to rest at all, really. And so then if sleep comes in the meditation, it can be a kind of uncomfortable sleep. Other people arrive and they're just able to rest right away. Either way, it can happen that as we start to rest a bit, literally rest, if we're so lucky, excuse me, that we realize how tired we are. And so resting, feeling more tired. And it tends to go towards a kind of peak where it would be easy to stop the experiment, to say, I'm just resting so much that I'm getting tired and cranky and spaced out. But if you just rest a little more, you'll be rested. That's what usually happens. So in some contexts, people are a bit more tired. It can take another day or even two. It could take even up to 4 days for some people. But it seems to be worthwhile in two ways. I'll just take a drink. So excuse me for having my water bottle in the hall and asking you not to, but it helps me speak. So one thing that can happen is we're used to being used to such an extent we feel uncomfortable if we think we're not being used or useful, busy, stressed out, basically. And so having the chance and permission and encouragement to rest, we actually get rested, and sometimes it feels like the first time we've ever been rested. And the mind and body have a different kind of harmony and access to depth and lightness that isn't so easy to get to when we're not rested. So there's just that simple getting rested process that's worthwhile in and of itself, in my experience, my opinion. Meanwhile, if we let ourselves rest, the parts that are used to being active, activated, busy, in charge, in a posture of control, so not actually in control, but in an illusion of control, those parts get disoriented. They feel uncomfortable because I'm so spaced out and I'm not clear, etc. But allowing, so let's say the thinking mind, to be a bit spaced out can be quite helpful for some deeper layers of the being to have a little bit more space and say in our experience. So we have access to deeper layers because basically we're less driven in the usual ways. At the same time, by resting, by being here, by resting for contact with aliveness, towards contact with aliveness in a meditative context, when we're awake, we feel the belly as best we can, for example. We're in a certain atmosphere. By the third day, we look back and see that we weren't just spaced out the whole time. So while it's happening, we can feel like, oh, I'm just so spaced out, I'm sleeping every meditation, etc. This is a waste of time, etc. But then on the day three, we look back and see it wasn't only spaced out, etc. There were moments of a totally different clarity that has a kind of freedom inbuilt in it. So it's not me clear about my experience. It's a kind of transparency, a clarity that came about in a more spacious way. And that tends to have a kind of, it's subtle, so it's easy for us to lose the trace. But at the same time, it potentially has much more impact towards transformation. But it is something that we need to actually go through. So I'm talking about it, but as you're going through it tomorrow and the next day, you might feel grumpy or cranky, or you might be so psyched that you can finally rest, whatever your reaction is. But you might wonder, what is meditation after all? What are we doing here? What is this? And then let yourself get to day three and get to day four, etc., and tell me your experience. And so a huge, full-hearted encouragement to fully experiment in whatever way you feel you want to experiment, but to full-heartedly experiment, to give yourself the whole thing. So we're in silence. We've agreed to be in silence together and to give fully into that experience is something that if I don't do it fully, I won't know what I've missed. But if I do it fully, that taste is in your system. And it starts to build something that we can be called back to more easily with less will. It starts to be a way of coming back to a natural depth and alignment that is something good to have in charge of our lives. It actually can be sensible, unlike our habitual ways. So I'm not giving tips about how to stay awake in meditation. So sometimes people will fall asleep, especially the first couple of days. If you know that you snore, if it happens, it's not a problem. It's another natural sound for everyone to receive, no problem. But if you know that you snore like I know that I snore, in those meditations that you feel that you're likely to sleep, then maybe it would be a good idea to lie face down or on your side rather than on your back, where it's more likely that the relaxation in the sinuses could bring some sounds. As I mentioned earlier, that the very first meditation of the day has a certain kind of, maybe we can say sparkle or something to it that I highly recommend getting the taste of for 7 days. And also the meditation after breakfast and the working meditation is when I give instructions. If the other meditations of the day you feel so tired, then you could go to your room rather than the hall to just simply sleep. That's possible. It's not a problem. What we leave room for in meditation through deep rest is ways that we're already equipped that we haven't had a chance to notice. for that to come to the surface and be available. And it's beautiful to realize that it's not that I have to try so hard to make something that I don't have yet, to be like them, to kind of catch up or be good enough. It's just, it's relaxing and coming into, getting slippery to come into our resources to experience what we have already that we didn't give attention to. Our programming was to give attention elsewhere. And so we find ways to be slippery enough that a more subtle attraction towards what already we have as resources, already direct awareness, already kindness, rather than trying to be kind or trying to be aware. Then there can come times where we have a kind of attack of reaction, reactivity, and then it can be so helpful to try, to try to feel the feet, to try to feel something other than the reaction, to give a chance for the reaction to find its own resolution. And insight can come out of that as a byproduct. Anything else about sleeping or anything else at all? Did you want to say any more about that? Is that Anka? I can't tell.
No, it's not me. No, it's me. Thank you for the tip on snoring.
For the people snoring?
No, I said thank you for the tip on snoring.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Anyone else? It can be quite fun if you have a reaction to snoring to really let it be fine that the reaction is there, but not that you're right, that the song, that there's anything wrong with the song, with the song of snoring. And so to really just stay right there. It's not wrong that you have the reaction. It's not wrong that there's the sound. Just right there, what happens in that fire. Can solve all the world's problems with that one practice. Anyone else feeling courageous?
Is it difficult to shut your eyes, or if one wants to keep them half open?
Yeah, it's up to you. Yeah. Whether the eyes could be open or closed is up to you. So I would like to suggest a kind of possible theme for this week together, and we'll see how that flows on into the second week, which quite a few of you are planning to stay on for. We started in the meditation guidance before dinner. To get a sense of how precise and quick the flow of our experience actually is. So I'm just curious, did you get a sense of that at all? Yes, no, a little, not at all.
Do you mean with precise?
I mean how much when there's a sound, how quickly it's here and how quickly it's gone, and how very much we did hear it.
Like we know what it is, or we hear it?
We may not be able to recognize. We in the instant that it happens, there's hearing, not necessarily a name for what we've heard. So it's quicker than naming. So even if our naming brain is so quick, there's something quicker. So it would be like as if there's a flow of experience with this very sharp edge, and it just, it's gone. It's flowing, gone. So it's about how precise now is. So does that make sense? Okay. And does it make sense to feel how we can play with our direct sense experience to kind of get used to the possibility that we can be relaxed and allow that precise now flow? We can practice with the sense experience, and then we could start to leave room for something like more deep and subtle, that experience of me. That we start to have room for don't know, but can feel. So there's, sound can be so helpful to play with because it so clearly happens in its own timing. And we can know that we definitely heard it. And then when we come to the body, sometimes it's hard to know if I'm controlling the breath or not. But even if I am controlling the breath, it's still, the sensations are only now. There's that sharp edge and it's gone. And so that the room for actual experience to be clearly felt and so alive, so much itself, so not in our control, so not ours. So free, so given. And then we could start to have room for something like that for oneself, for the sense of me. That the sense of me, the sense of what I am, I don't mean in any technical kind of way at all right now. Just anything that could be a sign of me, a feeling of myself. That's also only now. And we're allowed not to know what it is. We're allowed not to know what or who we are. And if you can just feel how that permission gives a chance to actually contact the experience. Does it make sense? I'm not talking about anything like any sort of fancy self. I just mean anything. It could include fancy self and dirty self and every part of it. There's room for that kind of ongoing flow of whatever could be me to keep on happening in freshness, just only now. So whatever I could say I know about me isn't really about me, it's about the past. Does that make sense? And so I can know me only in the freshness before I have words for it, and then it's gone again. Not even again, it's just gone. So it's a completely upside down on our head knowing. We only can know it in that felt way as it happens. Does that make sense? Is there a question? I can't see your faces to tell if you're being honest or just tired or whatever. Yeah, I'll try. Okay, let's just again rewind and go to sound. So there's the light sound outside the wind in the trees or whatever it might be. We don't know. We can imagine that it's wind in the trees, but we can just hear the sound. And we can treat the sound as a flow of sound. We can call it a flow. Because there seems to be sound after sound after sound after sound, but each one is gone. It's all the time gone. And it's all the time here. And can you feel how it, when we go into the mode of letting the sound be all the time here, what happens in your body and your mind to make room for that flow, to be as it is? It might be a little bit different for each one. For me, it's kind of a bit of a leaning back, and there's a smoothness and a brightening, kind of. Not necessarily light, but a sense of brightening energy, perking. And then if I kind of tune not only to my sense experience, which is mostly me alert to outside, if I also tune to my experience of what we could call inner life, different aspects of me, myself. We don't have to, first of all, keep it as a secret that I don't really know who I am. I have no way to put into words what is going on. And so kind of leaning on using the sense experience as a reminder that it's simple. And it is. There's sound going and there's hearing of sound going on. And that's already hearing the sound has no problem that the sound is gone. And also here. And so we kind of get the hang of, do you know that phrase in English, getting the hang of something? What is that in Hebrew, more or less? Anybody? So it would be like, I start to get used to, it starts to be a little bit fun. Just like in a couple of days, we'll get the hang of the schedule, we'll get the hang of being here in this place. It won't feel so full, awkward or overwhelming or whatever. So it starts to be easier to just let the flow, sometimes to let the flow of sound be flow. And to let that, we could call it a flow of receptivity meeting the sound. So there's the receptivity also happening by itself. Sound is being heard clearly, lightly. And then it starts to be possible at times to bring that kind of allowing to the sense of me, the inner world. Mental, emotional, and so much else. That it's also allowed to be in its flow, here and gone. But most importantly, I would say, most interesting to me, I would say, is how also it seems that the inner experience, even thinking or emotion or even a reaction that's programmed in the past, but the actual happening, there's some kind of freshness. Like we don't know what's going to happen next. And then it happens and then it's gone. Also in the inward experience. Including in a sort of more deep me sense. And so there can be this practice of welcome and allowing the flow of experience. And by tuning into welcoming, letting it be a flow, letting it be known, felt precisely, letting it be that we know truly we don't know what happens in the next moment. But it can be felt if we're not busy trying to figure out what's going to happen in the next moment. And there's something interesting about letting now be felt, letting the flow that's going on in our experience, sense experience and me experience, letting it be felt and not known. Does anyone feel like you understand what I'm saying and could say something about the contrast when I think I know what's going on or who I am and when it's felt? Anyone feel? So the shift, there's sound and I just let it be heard how it feels when there's a letting sound be heard. And there's less trying to get the sound or name the sound or whatever. Any adjectives?
As you were talking, I was just looking at the sensations in my body. And when you talked, I realized I was looking at what I was expecting to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's been there quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I started looking at what actually was there, it changed and was more fluid.
More fluid. Any other quality you could name?
It's just more surprising.
And how does surprising feel, like in the flesh?
Novel, interesting. Yeah, more alive.
More alive. Mm-hmm. How does more alive feel in the body? Mm-hmm. So I think it's good, like, keep being open to what possible does in the body, shape and texture, and the mind, shape and texture. Great. It's sort of waking up a very natural sense of, by sense I mean by a kind of instinct or even skill, an instinct that can gain skill if of homecoming. As we start to realize, more fluid, more alive. Any other qualities? It starts to draw us back. We have less work to do, less trying to remember. Anybody else feel like saying? If there's a difference in just receiving actually the experience and not, as Damon's saying, what I expected to be feeling inside. Okay, I feel a kind of coolness. Sometimes people feel warmth. There's not a right answer that I'm trying to get from you. It's more that there could be the openness to learn each from our own experience, to wake up this natural ability to find our way to ease and an aliveness that has good ideas and kindness and brings a kind of beautiful living. Okay, so I've talked so far in the meditation and now reviewing the meditation just about our actual experience as a flow, which in a way is just a concept, because there's not even flow, really. There's just only now. But we can feel it as a kind of flow. But I'd like to add now, as a kind of theme possibly for the week, just each of us being open to remember and to feel now, times that you just simply feel in the flow. So times in the past that you really felt in a flow. In the general use of the word, you could felt in the zone or whatever. And how that felt in the body. So from the meditation, we're noticing a kind of flow of experience and how it could be interesting to be really close to the freshness of what we didn't expect, but what is happening. And the contact, direct contact with that aliveness is maybe worthwhile to hang around there. And to play with what helps us hang around that, like a spring coming out of the ground or a kind of gap where fresh air is coming through a wall or window. And a natural kind of doggy nose that would go towards that fresh air or that fresh water. But in addition to that, just feeling for times in the past and during the days where you feel like you're in your flow, you're in your rhythm, and what that feels like physically in the body. And then those times that you were in a flow for a while, or those times that it happens that you get into a flow with your day or your night here, actions that are coming from that flow, how you acted from that flow, what that felt like in the body. So it's just a kind of something to put as if in the back burner, if we had four burners on the stove, one's in the back. Not trying too hard, but letting it come up and through. By the way, having a focus on what does it feel like to be in the flow? What did it feel like to be in the flow? When I was in the flow, how did I act? What did that feel like? How did I not act, and what did that feel like? What was easy to refrain from? What was easy to just do? And if it would be something like catching a current and sort of navigating the current, a feeling of maybe dancing with current. So there's still, it's not that we get in a flow and then everything happens how we expect it to. As Damon was saying, there's actually from the very beginning this acknowledgement that that's what I expected and this is different. Whatever this is that's actually happening is different. And so I'm not trying to make my experience be contained and be how I want it to be. I'm in a completely different state. So I'm in a current, and it may be like more like canoeing, so I can get the paddle into the currents and work with them. And then what happens when we kind of suddenly find that our boat has gone cross current and we're flipped over? And so secondarily, by the way, we could notice how is it when I feel not in a flow? What does that feel like, and how do I act, and what is the thinking? Overall, I'd like to really bring our emphasis again and again towards interest in this sort of uncontrived sweetness. So uncontrived means it's not because I made it happen. It just came about that there was a sense of ease or happiness or joy or sweetness or home or clarity or whatever. Interest in how that feels in the body and the mind. Really feeling, okay, what is it? So Damon has his project. Okay, like, what does it mean, possible? It feels more possible. There's what relaxes, what opens, what gets bigger, what gets smaller, what happens physically, where is it warm, where is it cool, where is it heavy, where is it light? To really train our interest towards the sensations in the body and mind when we feel in a flow. And to let it be by the way we happen to notice, therefore, how it feels when I feel not in a flow. Okay, any questions or anything to share? So I'd like to just flow on, so to speak, into a short meditation about 20 minutes long. And if it's fine to just stay as you are or make yourself ready if you need to.
Okay.
Yes.
Could you just mention something about the walking meditation?
I could do that now. I was planning, because people
are
so tired, to do it in the morning.
Oh, okay. Then that's fine.
Yeah. I could mention something now for those who have their work period, their working meditation, not during the work period, if you want to do walking meditation then. Just briefly, and I'll give a more full explanation tomorrow morning after breakfast. After the second meditation. So for walking meditation, generally, we will probably go on a walk together at one point, but in general, you let your feet find your spot somewhere in the grounds. And sometimes, at least several times a day, it could just be so that simple, where you're just walking back and forth or around in a circle in that one place. It doesn't have to be the same place every time, but where you find yourself going, and then there's your place, and just simply walking. And it's just simply stepping into now. And that could be supported by feeling the whole body in movement, or it could be supported by feeling the lower belly or the soles of the feet. It could be supported by tuning into the deep wish as you're walking along. But in general, one main difference is that you would mostly need to have your eyes open for walking. And so two things that we can play with there. One is inviting a sense or a kind of encouragement to be transparency, that you're really part of nature, and it's hard to know if the landscape is moving through you or you through the landscape as you move back and forth or around. So it's not so much like a shutting off of the nature around and clamping down into the feet or something like that, but an openness with that around you, the aliveness outside, the aliveness inside, with a kind of gathering into an area of support if needed. And usually it can be a good way to start into the walking meditation, is just to give a really simple place to rest the mind. The feet can be a good one. A second thing that happens when our eyes are open, and then the whole group is doing their walking meditation here and there. So each one, I'm trying to do my walking meditation in my own way. Out of the corner of my eye, I see someone else doing their walking meditation over there. And that unstoppable reaction in the mind of seeing another human being. And we might feel smaller than they or bigger than they. We feel safe or we feel unsafe. We feel the reactions that happen to us that we can't not have. So it's a good time to just take into account that it's possible to notice and feel, to practice feeling the reactivity in this human being in response to seeing that human being out of the corner of my eye. So sometimes it's mind-blowing how much can go on. I know the person, I don't know the person. They remind me of so-and-so, whatever. But simply to leave room for psychological programming and also just biological layers, that it's not wrong that that's in our experience. But it can be interesting that it's in our experience, and there can be freedom from that programming, gradually, gently. So there's nothing wrong with noticing that the mind might wish to impress so-and-so by doing such a good walking meditation, or be sure that maybe the mind is so sure that I'm not doing it as well and they're just really judging me, and you find the shoulders getting curved over and the chest getting small or whatever, and then noticing that in the body, and if possible releasing the body back to just, okay, I'm allowed to be here as myself, just a human being walking on the earth. And whenever there's more of a sense of like a big serious adult doing big serious walking meditation with capital M, it could be good to kind of get a big eraser out or some crayons or something and change the inner orders. So one of my favorite walking meditation instructions is just walk. And then I would recommend at least once a day that you don't need to go far on a walk, and certainly, especially for women, but for everyone, because we're not in a walled-off compound, and there's tourist zone right there. Maybe don't go so far walking alone, especially if you're in your meditation, but just to be more on the safe side. Staying closer towards the ashram. But letting yourself not know where you're going and just wander, not getting yourself lost, but giving a break from the very formal back and forth or around meditation and walking. Anyone else want to ask or say anything? Yes. One. I think it's 10:30. Let me think through. 8:15, 9:15. 10:15 maybe. It's the one after the breakfast and karma yoga active meditation. So for those who are quite new to meditation or it's on your first retreat, then the schedule is really here to be a support so that you don't have to wonder what to do. You just come in and let the schedule invite you into meditation. For some people who've been on many retreats, there's then an encouragement that they start to find more their own rhythm, so they may not always be in the hall. So not taking that as unsupportive, but rather as feeling that deeper sense of encouragement that we're all here not to just be good students and good meditators and obedient and to some sort of not quite random but outer directive, but we're actually here for something else. And the encouragement really is to feel for your own inner instructions all the time, and at the same time caring for each other, having that silence and space to do each our own exploration. So the meditation with instructions at 10:15 or 10:30 is a good time for those who are not in the hall all the time, that we all come together that time. Anyone else? Thank you. So just resting into ground, if you wish. Body is allowed to be here. Just body in all its simplicity and kind of mysteriousness, mystery. We don't know how long. We don't know how. How this does itself. We don't know. We do think we know. And so, as much as we may have tried to come with no expectation, we will find over these days where our expectations were when there's a friction with what's actually happening. So many expectations. No problem. That friction can allow us to shift back into, okay, just directly in a felt knowing. What is happening? Just as it's happening. That is ours. Our treasure. So just staying close to our treasure, where this life is just as if coming up out of the ground, rich and free. And we can't catch it. We can't keep it. And if we stop to try to catch it, we've left that place that it's just coming up out of the ground, just now. Just now. So if in case the body can relax a little more, great. getting out of the way of the flow. And also where the body just can't relax. We can relax about that. Not interfering. And if there's a sense of just being here and letting that magnetize you, just right where experience is coming out of the ground, so to speak, then that's one good way. And if we need to actually bring in something that we keep contact with to stay close to now, whether ground or sound or whole body, part of the body, breath, it's up to you. Or if the body is nearly impossible to feel, then continuing to feel for the deep wish with as much a sense of directness and aliveness in that, loving what you love, knowing what's important, experience. Just being here, not being two places at once. And how good that feels, just being in one place.